Frodo has survived his first brush with evil while on the road in the Shire. But does he have the courage to continue the journey? Help will come from unexpected places along the road. Today on Lore of the Rings, we continue our wandering of J.R.R. Tolkien's Fellowship of the Ring. I'm Aaron, your host and fellow Middle-earth wanderer. Thank you for joining me in the third part of Chapter 3, Three is Company, from Fellowship of the Ring. Be sure to hit that subscribe or follow button. Now, let's wander. Let's check the map. Last time, we explored the events of Frodo's first couple of days on the road from Bag End to the eastern regions of the Shire. With him are Sam and Pippin. They've encountered one black rider on the road so far, and now they travel a stone's throw from the road. In my Houghton Mifflin 2002 edition, we'll be covering pages 75 through 80 today. We pick up with our three hobbits while they travel along the road. After a time and some breaks, they begin to softly sing a walking song. We're going to pick this song apart, but before we do, I want to acknowledge the poetry in Lord of the Rings is not for everyone. Many people skip it, and that's okay. For them. But not for us, we who wander the world and works of J.R.R. Tolkien. Because we know something about the nature of Middle-earth. It was created by song. Middle-earth was brought into existence by literal music. That means that everything in Middle-earth, good peoples and evil creatures, even rocks and mountains, at their deepest levels, are musical. If you need a refresher on how music created Middle-earth, please go all the way back to Episode 1, The Beginning of Middle-earth. Also, please don't judge me for my early podcasting days, but that episode is remastered, so you should be alright. Because music is the fundamental nature of all things that exist in Middle-earth, it's only natural for Tolkien to include lyrics and poetry as part of the narrative. I've also found that the poems often highlight the foundational lore that is not always clear in the narrative portions. So it's the gems that we'll find and explore today. So, the Walking Song. At a high level, this song is about the unknown that awaits a traveler. In the first stanza, the traveler is leaving the warmth and comfort of home to explore the vastness of some unfamiliar place. Yet the traveler is also content to not explore every nook. Some things he will let pass by. To get a bit biographical, I think this shows Tolkien's own philosophy with writing the epic myth of Lord of the Rings. He would write about the people and places and languages that interested him, exploring their untold stories and discovering their delicate details. Yet other portions of the legend he left virtually untouched, allowing for other hands and minds to fill in the gaps, to paraphrase Tolkien from the Waldman letter. In fact, Tolkien wished for some aspects to remain unexplored. The unknown, mysterious quality excited his imagination. Also, for my Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, and Tears of the Kingdom fans, there are some lines in this song that will resonate with you. Quote, "A new road or a secret gate, and though we pass them by today, tomorrow we may come this way and take the hidden paths." When I, at least, am exploring the map of Hyrule, I found that there are so many places to explore that I would have to leave a note or marker of secret gates and hidden roads that I would need to come back to and explore at a different time. Here's a bit of lore as well from the second stanza. Quote, "Take the hidden paths that run towards the moon or to the sun." The moon and sun originated from the land of the Valar far in the west, the land called Valinor. There, after the death of the two trees, the Valar created the moon and sun from the last surviving remnants of the trees. After the Second Age and the assault of mortal men against the Valar, the way to Valinor was changed so that mortal men could not find his way to Valinor again. Hence, hidden paths lead to the lands where the moon and sun were created. Movie fans will recognize these next few lines from the third stanza. Quote, "Home is behind, the world ahead. And there are many paths to tread, through shadows to the edge of night, until the stars are all alight. Cloud and shade away shall fade." Yes, those are the lyrics, with slight variations, that movie Pippin sings for the tomato-smashing Denethor while Faramir and the Knights of Gondor attempt to reclaim the city of Osgiliath. Fun fact, while scriptwriter Philippa Boyens had the idea and wrote the lyrics, it was Billy Boyd who composed the tune and made the lyrics come to life. But that third stanza is also the inverse of the first. We begin with home behind and world ahead, but that flips in the final verse. Quote, "Then world behind and home ahead, we'll wander back to home and bed." I was struck this time reading the lyrics of this walking song by lines from another very famous poem. As a professor of English language for over 3 decades, I find it highly likely that Tolkien may have been familiar with the works of a famous American poet, Robert Frost, and in particular this poem published in 1923 called Stopping by the Woods on a Snowy Evening. This poem also evokes the irony of wanderlust and contentment of exploration, as the speaker of the poem is simply sitting on a still horse, watching snowfall in the middle of the woods. It's the final lines of the poem where I see the strongest connection, quote, "And miles to go before I sleep, and miles to go before I sleep." Here we have two poems about wandering into the unfamiliar, both lamenting the distance from home, but both also content in seeing new things, whether they be a secret gate or the woods filling up with snow. Well, songs and good times come to an end, and evil lurks just behind Frodo, and he'll have his second major temptation to put on the ring. But before we get to that, if you are loving this episode, I would really appreciate you sharing a link to this episode with someone you know. Perhaps there's someone who you once explored a new place with, or perhaps enjoyed the snow falling among trees. Tap that share episode button, punch in their name, and invite them to wander Middle-earth with you. Pippin belts out the final words of the song only to be hushed by Frodo, who fears the imminent sound of hooves on the road. They scuttle to the darkness under the trees, only to find a black rider has caught up with them again. As a reader, you can almost feel the darkness of this moment. Yes, there's stars, but no moon. The rider is black on a black horse. Shadows envelop everything. Even the actions of the rider are terrifying. He doesn't walk, but crawls, sniffing his way towards Frodo. Frodo is again struck by a desire to, quote, "slip on the ring." I'm intrigued by that choice of verb, to slip on. That's the same phrase Tolkien used in the previous experience of the Black Rider. To slip on, rather than to put or to place on his finger, suggests to me the easiness of the action, almost as if the action would be less deliberate and more giving in to some other will that wanted the ring to be on his finger, perhaps the will of the rider or the ring itself. Beyond the ease or motivation of the action, to slip also denotes some level of fall. We slip on ice, or maybe go down a slippery slope. Slipping means to fall. To slip on the ring would be to fall to the Dark Lord's power. Frodo's will is consumed, and without his intent, his hand begins to retrieve the ring. But Frodo is suddenly saved. Some other power intervenes, and the rider departs back into shadow. What is this other force that suddenly brings light to the dark encounter? Well, if you've been reading carefully, you'll realize that the stars have been giving you clues this whole time. We'll get to that right after this break. We're not done yet. If you like this episode, please leave a review and share with your friends. And remember to subscribe if you haven't already. We'll be right back.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Here's a few lines from this portion of the chapter. Spot the common pattern, add in a bit of lore, and you'll know what, or who rather, saved Frodo from the Black Rider. Quote, "A star came out above the trees in the darkening east before them. After a time, as the stars grew thicker and brighter, the feeling of disquiet left them. Through shadows, to the edge of night, until the stars are all alight. Above it, the stars were thick in the dim sky. And just as Frodo is about to slip on the ring, quote, "There came a sound like mingled song and laughter. Clear voices rose and fell in the starlit air." What creature, or rather species, is most closely associated with stars in Middle-earth? Why, Tolkien's favorites, the firstborn children of Iluvatar, the immortal Eldar, the elves. The presence of the elves is enough to send this solitary Black Rider away. This is the first time in Lord of the Rings that an elf has directly appeared on the scene, so let's take a moment and examine how elves are introduced in Lord of the Rings versus The Hobbit. In The Hobbit, as Bilbo is coming into Rivendell, all of his senses are activated. Quote, "It smells like elves," thought Bilbo, and he looked up at the stars. They were burning bright and blue. Just then there came a burst of song, like laughter, in the trees. See any commonalities? Elves are closely connected with the stars, and in each case they are introduced by singing and laughter. While Frodo doesn't remark on the air smelling of elves, it certainly is intriguing that the dark figure of the Black Rider is sniffing the air, and likely would have caught their scent before Frodo. Before you get caught up on what elves smell like, or even the oddity of mentioning that detail, let me remind you that Tolkien was a devout Catholic. He likely borrowed the idea of the odor of sanctity. Now, I am not Catholic, and I'm not an expert on this idea, so I'll quote from Carl Hostetter's The Nature of Middle-earth. Quote, "The bodies of holy people are also reported to emit a fragrance, often compared to flowers, known as the odor sanctititatis, while alive." Tolkien's elves, even as exiles in Middle-earth, would have some level of holiness or perfection about them, and so would have had some odor of sanctity. Whoa, I bet you didn't think we'd get into the body odor of elves today. Maybe I should have just let that one pass like the Hobbit's walking song suggested. Well, that's the smell. What of the stars? Elves are closely connected with the stars because when they first awoke in the first age of Middle-earth, their eyes opened to the night sky filled with stars. This was thousands of years ago and many miles away in the now lost land of Cui Vienen. Episode 2 is a great exploration of that tale. Frodo recognizes these elves as high elves by the subject of their song. Quote, "Snow White, Snow White, O Lady Clear, O Queen beyond the Western Seas, Gilthoniel, O Elbereth." Elbereth is the name of one of the Valar, the powers that govern Middle-earth. She created the stars and set them in the sky, high and far from the grasp of the Valar's enemy, Morgoth. Elbereth, also named Varda, Lady of the Stars, was introduced in Tolkien's The Silmarillion, where we read that, quote, "Too great is her beauty to be declared in the words of men or of elves, for the light of Iluvatar lives still in her face," Iluvatar being the creator god who stands above all. Elbereth rejected the enemy Morgoth from the beginning, and is one of his chief rivals. So it's fitting then, for Frodo, seemingly alone on a quest against Sauron, for him to be introduced to Elbereth, Lady of the Stars, by the elves. She will show up more than once, and be a motivating power in the final struggle against Sauron, albeit behind the scenes. Indeed, Gandalf even mentioned to Frodo that there is more than one power at work in Middle-earth, and Elbereth, not the least. But Frodo doesn't know that, and too often Elbereth's interventions are noted merely as, quote, "This is indeed a strange chance," as Frodo says in this chapter. To continue our star theme, the elves carry no lights, and yet, quote, "The hobbits could see the starlight glimmering on their hair and in their eyes. The elves exude their own light." One elf introduces himself to the hobbits as Gildor, of the House of Finrod, and they are exiles. Let's break that down a bit. Finrod was one of the great elves in the first age of Middle-earth. You are more likely familiar with his younger sister, Galadriel. And yes, Finrod is the elf who is portrayed in Amazon's Rings of Power series, the one who had the secret tattoo of Sauron's Mordor etched into his chest. He did many amazing things in Middle-earth, founding the great fortress Nargothrond, and helping the mortal man Beren on his quest to recover a Silmaril. Finrod led one of the major houses of elves from the land of Valinor in the west back to Middle-earth. For that act, he and his people were given what is called the Doom of Mandos, or essentially exiled to Middle-earth for defying the Valar. Yet at the close of the First Age, the elves were allowed to return into the West, but those who stayed still considered themselves exiles until they decided to return. For more on Finrod, his adventures, and the doom of Mandos that exiled the elves, go back and listen to episodes 6, 7, and 18 through 21. Gildor invites Frodo to walk with them after hearing of their encounters with the Black Riders, and Sam has achieved his greatest wish. He walks alongside Frodo, quote, as if in a dream, with an expression on his face, half of fear and half of astonished joy. I can't help but think that I would react in exactly the same way. Join me in the next episode, where we will explore Gildor's advice to Frodo and see how Gildor's blessing will come true and how all of that has to do with Starlight. Thank you for wandering Middle-earth with me today. My friends, if you enjoyed this episode, let me know by subscribing, leaving a review, and sharing with your friends. Follow me on Facebook or Instagram at Lore of the Rings Podcast. For feedback on the show, please email me using the link in the show notes. Until next Thursday, remember, not all those who wander are lost. Raise your hand if this has happened to you today. You're in the middle of work, you're knocking things off the to-do list, getting stuff done, and your kid asks you to play. Do you drop everything? Do you ask them to wait a minute? What do? If you're like me, you don't always say yes right away. The kid moves on, you get busy, and you forget to circle back around and play. An opportunity to make a memory has been lost, and the dad guilt settles in. Not so anymore. I've developed a simple game that will enable you to take those small moments and have fun. It's called Dad's Adventure Dice Digital Edition. My 5-year-old daughter asks me nearly every day, "Can we do Dad Adventure Dice?" What follows are some quick rolls of the dice that lead to a fun activity with an intriguing twist. Within 5 or 10 minutes, we've had a lot of fun, shared a lot of laughter, and made a memory together. Download your own Dad's Adventure Dice today. Visit store.adventures.dad to download yours. That's store.adventure.dad to download Dad's Adventure Dice.